When I'm delivered to your door, I'm in plastic. A hard post-surgical recovery pod with a clear top and hissing anaesthesia tanks that keep me floating in painless, dreamless suspension. Normally someone in post-op would be covered by a hospital gown, but I knew you would see me before I woke, so I had the nurses dress me in something tantalising. Something that would scandalise them and tempt you into opening your front door, into signing for the delivery, and accepting an unconscious stranger into your home. But we're not strangers. It's hard for you to recognise me, dressed the way I am, changed the way I am. The last time we met was at your birthday party. I tried to catch your eye with a smart-looking turtleneck, my tightest black jeans, my slim gold-frame glasses. I watched you all night. I tossed my hair when you looked at me. I played with my straw. I walked past you again and again. Finally, I sat next to you and asked how your night was going. You were polite. You were interesting. You told a joke about how birthday spankings take longer and longer as you get older. But you weren't watching me. Not really. You looked through me, around me. I was an obstacle you talked past, not a trophy. Not the prize you sought. So I've made myself that prize. And it's had the desired effect. Your hand shakes as you sign the delivery form on top of my pod, looking down on me. The hospital drivers smirk, and they're hard in their jumpsuits from ogling me in the van. You wheel me inside and shut the door behind you. You still don't recognise me. Or my name. That's how little an impression I left. Now, you can't pick your jaw up off the floor. The pod dings as the anaesthetic runs out. I waken and I see you staring at me. Your hand is making slow, unconscious circles over the bulge in your pants. I glance down and I see that the nurses have followed my written instructions. They've zipped me into a tight black cocktail dress that fails in every measurable way to hide my new figure. My hair is pinned artfully back from my face so you can see the curve of my neck, the bow of my mouth, the dimple of my chin and cheeks. My thighs and hips peek tantalizingly through the slits in the dress. I am quite literally your perfect woman. Not the perfect woman, mind you. I didn't remake myself to look like some bimbo or the average dating preferences of all men. No, I'm your perfect woman. The data collected from your online dating history, your most viewed porn stars, your eye-tracking habits when your favourite actresses appear on screen. All of it is information you volunteered to get the best search results on your favourite apps. All information that can be bought, if one's willing to pay the right price. This is dangerous surgery, the doctors warned me. Supernormal stimuli, they call it. No brain on earth, be it animal or human, is built to handle having all their buttons pushed at once. And until now, creating the perfect sexual partner was never a concern. Nor will it ever be a concern with proper medical regulation. But again, if one is willing to pay the right price. The recovery pod opens and I step out. You quickly remove your hand from your bulge, hiding it behind your back, but you're still erect and I look you in the eyes and lick my lips. Your first words to me are surprising but reasonable. "Who the fuck are you?" you ask. The moment I open my mouth to speak, I see you melt, like I've turned you into warm butterscotch. I see you shiver at my voice and your shoulders sag. And even I'm surprised at what I hear, because, of course, I changed my voice to be perfect for you too. "It's me, Alice. From the party?" I give you a shy smile. "I had a neocellular sculpt, full body, for you. Do you like it?" My new voice has its desired effect. I see your doubts, your sense of danger, drain away. Normally, you'd ask what I might do to you, now that I've conned my way into your home. What do I want? Am I dangerous? Can you risk turning your back on me? But as I explain the procedure to you, the radiant cell bath, the gravity mold, the vocal toning, I see your eyes, your mind, drift. You're absorbed by me, in me. You're fixed on my cadence, on my rich inflection, on my breasts. And I can't help but pose to distract you further. You're practically drooling until I mention your internet history, how I was remodeled after your personal preferences. "That's fucking crazy," you whisper, almost appreciatively. "It is," I admit. "No sane person would alter themselves, remake themselves to be the perfect ideal for another. But I am crazy. I understood what being crazy meant when I met you and fell in love. And I saw that I didn't touch a single one of your nerves. That I would never touch a nerve with you. Not the way I was. Not with what I was. What I've done. How I've invaded your privacy. It was wrong. I get that. And I'm sorry. But I need for you to consider it. Consider me. And think about this voice, this sculpted body, these delicate, perfect features, walking out of here forever. Think about how you would feel knowing your perfect woman was out in the world, laughing with other men, living another life, away from you. Because when she came to you, gave herself to you, you were too freaked out. You didn't want to risk normal and safe. So you turned away literal perfection and complete devotion. You take a breath, and you step away from me toward the front door. You reach for the door handle, and I feel hot tears in my eyes. "Please," I beg. "Please, just give me a chance. I don't know if I could take it if nothing worked, if nothing I did interested you." I don't know if I can take it, being without you. Please, please, just try me. That's when I see you smiling. In fact, I notice that you're hard again. And that the top deadbolt is still locked on the door. You reached for the handle, yet you never had any intention of opening it. You just wanted to hear me beg. You want it, so I keep doing it, begging to please you, anything for you. Please, just give me a chance. Aren't I perfect for you? Haven't I made myself the ideal woman? I kneel at first, and then I begin to crawl toward you. It's all for you. Only the best for you. Please, don't make me leave. Not until I've shown you how much I want you. Me, this body, has been remade for you. Please, don't you want to feel it at least once before you decide? Please. It's too much for you. On my knees, in my tiny dress, staring up at you with complete devotion, I'm everything you've ever wanted. And I'm begging so prettily. Before I know it, your pants are down and your cock is out and you're thrusting it into my face. I've never seen a man so completely taken by lust before. And to see it from you is intoxicating. I feel drunk for you as your cock slides into my mouth. And I curl my tongue around it and I purr. I hear you gasp, then groan. I feel your hands wrap around the back of my head. You pull me further onto your cock, slowly at first. So I begin bobbing with the thrust of your hips, and your cock slams into the back of my throat. I oblige you by leaning forward, raising my chin and offering you my throat as you glide your erection down my esophagus. Your eyes go wide, shocked, as you begin to face-fuck me. Your cock is, quite literally, the largest I've ever taken, as I assume it is for most women you've been with. And yet, you find me, my throat, willing, pliable. My back arches, and I dig my tongue into the underside of your shaft. You grunt and thrust, fucking the air from my lungs, and I wriggle on you like a fish on a line. I'm not wearing any makeup after the operation, so it takes you a moment to see the tears on my cheeks, among the imprints of spit from your pelvis slapping my face. I drool and cough, trailing strings of saliva between my perfect lips and your balls. Lubricant for the pneumatic fucking you give my mouth. When you come, it is as abrupt as it is intense, and it surprises us both. Your cock gives one hard, violent twitch, and you shoot a near constant stream of cum down my throat and into my stomach. Feels more like a staccato spray of a warm sprinkler than the pulse of a penis. You collapse back mid-spurt, unable to stay on your feet. You sit heavily on the arm of the couch. The last spray hits me in the face while I'm gasping. I look like an angelic painting, vandalized by a splash of silvery white. You sit straddling the couch, cock pulsing as it sinks down onto the leather sofa arm, and you catch your breath. I assume we're done for the time being, so I tug the straps of my dress back onto my shoulders and begin to lick the cum from my lips. when I see your cock stiffen again, impossibly, rising from the couch, sticky and shiny with spit, and I see your hunger again, and again, the surprise in your eyes. Supernormal stimuli, I remember. That was lovely, I tell you. But maybe we should take this to the bedroom, somewhere we can take our time. That's as far as I get before you're on me again. I'm half turned, indicating the hallway, because, of course, I know where your bedroom is. I feel your arms wrap around my shoulders, and your pelvis is slamming into the side of my hip, almost of its own accord. I try to remove your shirt to turn this into part of the seduction, but you're not having it. I get half the buttons off, and then you jerk me around, and the rest pop and shoot across the room. I'm left clutching a scrap of torn shirt as you continue fucking toward my hips, adjusting like an animal until you find my ass. Then I squeal and try to pull away. This isn't my first time. I've had anal sex before, but never with a man so mindlessly taken by desire, never so abruptly, so roughly. Hey, wait, we can do this, but give me... I cry out in surprise and pain as you ram yourself into me, and it feels like I'm splitting open. I try to relax, try to get into it, to be soft and willing for you. But the way you move, the eagerness with which you take me, it's more than just a violent possession of the spirit. I turn to look into your eyes, and they're locked onto my body with such an intensity that I can't tell if there's anything left other than feral need. From time to time, I squirm or jerk or make little gasps as you drive the breath from me. But there's really nothing I can do except lose myself to the sensation of you using my ass to sate a desire you've never reached. Who in their lifetime gets to fuck perfection? Who gets to ruin something pristine? Something made only for them. The game you played, the begging, it was just that, a game. Now, as you claim me and I'm fucked senseless, I realize the real game is waiting for you to snap out of this spell, waiting for the novelty to wear off. But it doesn't. You come deep in my ass while I wriggle and clutch at your arms locked around my waist. You fill me. I feel warm waves crashing against my insides over and over while you crush me against your chest, clawing at my breasts. Finally, you step back and we both look afraid. The straps on my dress are gone, as is the zipper, and it falls to my ankles. Your shirt, the last stitch on you, is in tatters. You take three deep breaths, and your eyes start to focus, and you see me shivering, weak, bedraggled, and you reach for me again. Wait! I cry out. Wait, I'm yours. I'm yours forever. You can have me as much as you want, as often as you want, but don't you want to take a moment to savour it? You don't. Or at this moment, you are incapable of thinking that far ahead. You grab my arm and I drag you, fleeing by instinct into the hallway. I'm not trying to escape you. Not really. But I'm still exhausted from the surgery and sore from your abuses. I think maybe, just maybe, if I can lie down. We don't get that far. You yank me to a stop in the hallway, and I slide back against the wall and I sit. Then you collapse on top of me, so hard the pictures on the walls tumble, crashing all around us. Glass explodes from the frames and you ignore them, lifting my hips. You fold me in half against the wall, legs up as you claim my pussy, and I'm panting and gasping again. Finally, in this position, I can see your face as you fuck me into the plaster. The only way I can describe what I see in your eyes is a cross between ravenous hunger and the absent-mindedness of a daydream. Your eyes roam my soft features, my face, my lips, my collarbone, my heaving breasts, my body. They feast on every part of me. Your hands grip, pinch, pull and absorb every curve of me, every ounce of flesh you can fit between your fingers. It's like every nerve in you wants to both consume and memorize everything of me. You fuck me against the wall until my mind goes utterly blank, until I'm panting, drooling and pliant in your thrusts, until I join you in the daydream. Mine is a dream of being your perfect creature, a doll made for you, for your pleasure, to be used any way you want, any time you want. Used until I collapse, until there's nothing left for me to give. And you take. You take me, my perfection, everything I've made myself into. You take all of me, in the bathroom, in the kitchen, in the bedroom. You use me as if you plan to use me up entirely. From time to time, when my mind flickers back to consciousness, I understand now why the doctors were hesitant. I remember the videos in the waiting room before the neocellular sculpt. Videos of peacock plumage, of swallow tails and bird feathers, of dual beetles swarming beer bottles attracted to the dimples in the glass. As you fuck me, room by room, crawling, sweaty, exhausted, unable to stop, I remember the beetles falling from the glass, baked by the sun, unable to restrain themselves, primed by nature to seek the perfect mate, the perfect sensation, the perfect fuck. Supernormal stimuli indeed.